Welcome to Through the Word. Today we begin the book of Titus, a power-packed letter written to one of the Bible's greatest unknown heroes. Titus was a pastor, church planter, and missionary hero of the first century. Paul's letter to Titus is core content, a must-read repeatedly for every Christian leader. And here to lead us through it, a man with much in common with Titus, church planter, church planting trainer, and author, and one of my best friends, Peyton Jones, here with the introduction to Titus.
Titus begins with Paul saying, "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect, and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested his word through the preaching which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." In school, our English teachers taught us that a good introduction to any piece of writing is key to prepping your reader to make sense of what they're about to read. Paul certainly got an A in that class. The intro to Titus has all the elements of a good introduction. It encapsulates the main theme. It lays a foundation for the different points he's going to cover in his letter. But why such an elaborate introduction? Just exactly what was their problem on the Isle of Crete? We'll rewind the tape to Acts chapter 27, and you'll see Paul and Titus on their way to Rome. Unfortunately, Paul is in chains. They were simply on their way from point A to point B, crossing over the Mediterranean on a boat, stopping over at Crete because of the storms, and at some point, after all that evangelizing they had been doing, Paul looks at Titus and says, "Well, pal, I know how we were just passing through here, but it looks like I'm passing through, you're staying put." The problem that the Isle of Crete was having, and the churches there, was that there weren't any churches. There were believers, but there was not any proper leadership. Therefore, in verse 5 of chapter 1, Paul says, "For this reason, I left you behind at Crete to set in order what was lacking." What was lacking? Leadership. Look back at verse 5. "The whole reason I left you in Crete was so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." You can imagine what a huge amount of trust that was to Titus to actually drop him off on an entire island, giving him charge over multiple cities to set up churches and leadership in each one. That is a tall order. I want you to imagine that the Apostle Paul looked at you on the city streets of downtown New York City and told you, "All right, the Big Apple's yours. Establish churches in every major neighborhood. And when you're done, come and meet me." Now, this leads us to the second problem. If Titus was there to appoint leadership, then what was the result of not having leadership with the Christians on the Isle of Crete? The problem was there was no one there to model the change that Jesus can bring to a life. The culture was not anything to brag about when it came to godliness on that island. In fact, their reputation was quite the opposite. Maybe you've heard someone being referred to as a Cretan before. That's right. It actually became a derogatory term. Paul quotes a poet named Epidemes. "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Such is island life. Known for harboring harbors that harbored pirates, they gained a reputation for deception, blackmail, and extorting money off of pirates rather than working themselves." That's why Paul sets up leaders who will become the exact opposite of what a Cretan is called to be. The hope is that these leaders will lead life change through the radical transformational power of the gospel, and it will become contagious. They need to believe the right things so that they can behave in the right way too. That's foundational. We'll see that connection more as we move ahead here in the book. But Titus's structure is super easy to break down. And through looking at the structure, you'll also see the connection between what we believe and how we behave. Let me break down the structure for you. In verses 1 through 3, we see the preamble, packed full of doctrine that they desperately needed. Verse 4 is the address, from Paul to Titus, and it gives the customary greeting, "Grace and peace to you." But verse 5 is where the letter really kicks off, and it tells us why the letter was written. To establish leaders, as we said, and here Paul gives Titus a field guide of what to look for. After he's done with that, he picks up in verse 9, and verse 9, by the way, holds the key to cracking open the entire book of Titus. Chapter 1, verse 9, the first key we have to the book of Titus, tells him that a leader needs to, quote, hold fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able, by sound teaching, both to exhort and correct those who contradict. There are three things that the word primarily does, and so our duty for those of us who preach it are to provide sound teaching, to exhort, which means to encourage, and to rebuke, which means to refute, convict, or correct. There you have the sound teaching about the life and ministry of Jesus in the book, and then the encouragement that flows out of it. Really, if you unpack the epistles, they can be summed up as an application of the Gospels to our lives. Here's what Jesus did and what it means. This is A, how it should encourage you, and B, how it should correct you. Using chapter 1, verse 9 as the key to the book, we see that Paul cycles through these three duties of the word in reverse order. And then Paul closes the book by telling Titus, hurry up and join me, finish up your work on the Isle of Crete. And then he launches into one final exhortation before signing his name. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. This addressed the second problem that appointing leadership was to correct, and that was their witness. You see, if the Isle of Crete had a really bad reputation, Paul wanted to see it changed. Why? Because the gospel had gone there. And anywhere the gospel goes, it has the power to change and transform a life. And if it changes one life, it can change many lives. And if it changes enough lives, it changes the whole culture and an entire generation. Believer, be encouraged. The gospel you believe today has the power to transform your generation. It could change your reputation and the reputation of your entire generation. What if God could get a hold of your generation? How would its reputation change? If God could change the reputation of this large island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, He can change your friends, your school, and your generation. But like Titus teaches us, it always begins with one person. Maybe that one person is you.
And that is our intro to Titus. Time to read for yourself. When you're done, you can check out our B-side audio as Peyton weaves together the story of Titus as his name pops up all over the New Testament. Really quite fascinating to follow his full story. And for more from Peyton, check out peytonjones.ninja. That's right, .ninja. And we'll both be back for Chapter 1.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.